Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline.
Oh, man, that was so funny. Mike, yesterday, Rex was sitting in that hot seat that you're in, and I told him he's going to be my defensive coordinator. I told him, we're talking about agents and stuff, and I said, here's a good one. I'm going to be your agent, and based on the way Kansas City's been playing, I'm just going to assume Spagnuolo's going to be sent packing at the end of the season, and I'm going to go to Andy Reid. What's it going to take for you to be my DC? But what I first told him is you need to be a DC, and he's like, oh, I don't want to do it. I said, well, what if it's Kansas City? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. You know, and so I'm like, well, you can go be a DC for 2 years, man, and get right back in and be a head coach just like that.
The Mike to whom Key is referring is Mike Tannenbaum, of course, our, insider, front office
friend
insider?
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Chevy Tahoe driving friend of the show.
Chevy Tahoe, Mike Tannenbaum.
A Chevy Tahoe down here today.
What is your official title? General manager?
Like senior front office insider or something.
Senior
like
front office.
Senior front office insider.
Oh, Mike, you slipped in the senior.
Well, what's it?
When Seth Markman and Lee Finney hired me, I was just all right. What do I sign? I'm good. You know.
What is a junior insider?
Yeah, exactly. I just see here.
It's
ESPN.
My son who has all the answers and is probably listening right now, and he'll let me know all the mistakes I made. You know, at the end of the hour. The question that I thought you guys would ask me is like, there's three of you. I thought you guys would ask me how many shots I did this morning.
How many shots?
Did you guys watch Marshawn Lynch?
Oh, Marshawn Lynch. You do shots of Henny? That's what you're trying to do?
No,
Hennessy?
I was just trying to, you know, tie in last
night. I don't know if you're really going to tie into the culture here in the show at 7 o'clock in the morning.
The number three, yeah.
Let's make sure that's the only reference to, like, Marshawn Lynch last night, Mike. We only can use the dump button once.
So, Mike, we've been talking about a lot of stuff so far today, but Joe Burrow had this signature win over the Ravens this weekend, And I want you to – it got us to thinking. We were talking about this on This Just In yesterday, by the way. Mike and I were, and some others were. I don't know if you heard about it, 2 p.m. Eastern. Fantastic new show on
this
ESPN.
This Just In?
Yeah, you know, handsome host, the whole thing. and we were talking about great young quarterbacks in the league and where Joe Burrow fits in. So this is Dan Orlovsky, Mike, on this show yesterday.
I said this last year. I got crushed for it, but I said, if I had to take one young quarterback in the NFL, in the NFL, I would take Joe Burrow.
Yeah, this is
post-Patrick Mahomes. Young, I mean, yeah.
Justin
Herbert is a young quarterback.
No, Justin Herbert is the most talented, but obvious eye-popping talent. But there is some, I think Joe Burrow gives me the feeling he's going to do the most winning. There's something about him that makes me feel like he's going to do the most winning.
I think his pulse, I think that immeasurable, his pulse never goes up or low type of thing. I also think, and you guys, ex-athletes know this, you know, I've never gotten to this point, maybe in high school a little bit. Like, I truly believe when he feels like he steps on the field, I'm the baddest joker out here. You know, like, it's just one of those mindsets, that Tom Brady mindset.
Okay, so, Mike, the question is, if you could start your franchise with one quarterback drafted since 2018, because we'll say post-Mahomes, who would it be? And by the way, you can join in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
Justin Herbert. I'd rather take the bigger guy over the little guy. He is built to last. He's bigger, faster, stronger than Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow. I'm taking nothing away from Joe Burrow. I'd rather have Joe Burrow over Trevor Lawrence, because if those two guys walk into a bar, I'm betting on Joe Burrow winning that fight over Trevor Lawrence, because Trevor Lawrence has been so good. I don't know if he has that innate toughness that Burrow has, but Justin Herbert is way more competitive, way more of a leader than people ever realized. And when you see him from the neck down, he looks like a young Ben Roethlisberger, and from the neck up, he looks like he plays like Tom Brady. And Joe Burrow, when you look at him, and Key, you know this from Coach Parcells, like, are players built to last when you look at them from behind? Joe Burrow, in my opinion, wasn't. It was tragic that he got hurt. I hope he never gets hurt again. But if we were running a team, it's reasonable to think that the bigger guy is going to last longer than the smaller guy.
Well, what do you mean when you look at somebody from behind, you didn't think that Joe Burrow was built to last? Like, what about his definition?
Quads, his calves, like, when you just look at his lower body, Justin Herbert is a bigger, stronger guy. And when you look at Burrow, he was a good athlete, probably a better athlete. I saw him live against Georgia, and I saw him outrun some SEC defenders. I'm like, this guy's a better athlete than people realize. But I'm just saying, from a sustainability standpoint, I'll take Herbert over Burrow.
No, I get what Mike is saying. When you look at the two side by side, one body looks kind of just not built to last. A couple hits here or there. He's got like a soft body.
Mm.
And Justin Herbert's big, strong, elongated, all those sort of things. And I agree with you, Mike. I'm going to go Justin Herbert, and I'm just going to list mine. I told Evan I wouldn't list, but I'm going to go Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, then Joe Burrow.
So, Key, my only question, though, is, like, if you owned a team, and I love Lamar, too, but, like, sustainability, because the ball's in his hands so much, like, is he, you know, same question.
It is, but he hasn't shown me, whether it's been college, high school, all the way back to Pop Warner. I've been watching the Key, you know how you got to do, I've been watching him play since he was in Pop Warner. I actually physically saw him play in Pop Warner, saw him play in high school, saw him play in college. There's nothing there that indicates to me there's a history of injuries. I also saw Joe Burrow play when he was at Ohio State. I saw him and it was like, okay, I saw him at LSU. Okay, I had the luxury of seeing Justin Herbert his entire career at Oregon. I've probably seen him play live 6-7 times. So having that sort of information and data and looking all of them, I saw Kyler Murray play at Texas A&M as well as Oklahoma. So when I look at it in Arizona, so when I'm looking at him, I'm like, okay, it starts with Justin Herbert and it ends with Joe Burrow. Josh Allen and all those other guys are in between if I'm starting a team today. I like the dynamic aspects of Lamar Jackson. We can do so many different things with him.
Yep.
And I think that there's a disservice to his ability to throw the football. Why in the hell that is, I have no idea.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is, like, there's a great saying in the draft room, like, talent sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. And Lamar Jackson's play this year shows what kind of character he is, because everyone's like, no, we're going to make you beat us left-handed. We're going to keep you in the pocket. And all he's done is yards per attempt, completion percentage have gone way up. And you know that comes from a great work ethic. So he deserves a ton of credit. The only other guy that concerns me in your list is Josh Allen. Josh Allen can't make people miss. He's a big guy, and he has a big hitting surface. And to me, over time, like, he could wear down. And if you go back to, like, to me, there was a big play when Justin Herbert was at Oregon against Wisconsin, where Wisconsin was one of the top five.
In the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, in the Rose Bowl.
I was there.
Yeah. He could run you over, but he can make people miss. And to me, the difference between Josh Allen and Justin Herbert is, I think Herbert has the short area quickness that Josh Allen doesn't. And I would be concerned that Allen could wear down over time.
Isn't that the same with Kyler Murray, though? I mean, we watched him get hurt last year, right? Trying to move around in the pocket a ton and get smashed one time, and all of a sudden he's out. It's the same thing. I mean, those are the same type of fears that you have for Lamar Jackson as well.
Yeah, but I like Kyler Murray, though. I like him, especially in this air raid system and what they just – he just – can't do nothing with him, man. It's just the reality of it.
Let me make the Joe Burrow argument. It's not really an argument for Joe Burrow, but, like, let me express the feeling that people who support Burrow, because I feel this way, are thinking when you watch him, okay? I agree. After Mahomes, it's Lamar Jackson. First of all, he's the same age as Joe Burrow. He's already won the MVP. He's won a playoff game. He's setting the league on fire. So there's Mahomes, then Lamar. Of all the rest of the guys, to me, it's Justin Herbert who jumps off the screen at you. To me, more than Josh Allen. Overall, take him over Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow, talent-wise, clearly. What I'm just saying is there's something about Joe Burrow. I thought Trevor Lawrence is going to be the best player in the national championship game. Wasn't close. It was Joe Burrow. I thought, okay, and I know it's a team sport. So, like, you know, this, when I was a kid, it was, of course, Marino's better than Montana, but Montana won all the time, right? Later on, of course, Aaron Rodgers is better than Tom Brady, but Tom Brady had something. Maybe it's diagnosing a play faster, making a good decision, whatever it is. Burrow seems to have that thing to me, and Dan Orlovsky expressed it, Mike, by saying he just gives you the sense that he believes he's the best dude on every field he steps onto.
And that's what's so frustrating, because I think there's a massive East Coast bias to what we do. Like, Justin Herbert has all those things, and people just don't know that. And if Justin Herbert had played the SEC, I think we'd be having a lot of those same conversations. I have one other question for you guys. Did Shaq Khan, in his interview with Urban Meyer, say, like, why'd you basically cut Joe Burrow? Like, how did Joe Burrow not start at Ohio State? If job number one is to evaluate and develop the quarterback position, how does Joe Burrow not start, Like, the two questions that...
Because this dude's better than him at Ohio State. Even though he had a successful run at LSU, I was close to the Ohio State program just as a whole because of my nephew, and he went there, and they were recruiting my son. Them dudes that was there, better than him. Haskins and all them dudes were just better than him. Really was.
It's hard for me to believe that.
In that system.
Right, but my response to that... As the head coach, like, find a system that works for Joe Burrow. The guy's the first pick in the draft.
But Urban Meyer ain't going to change in college. Yep. He's not going to change his system to fit Joe Burrow when he got four other dudes behind them that can really play.
When Burrow got a shot, he had the greatest season ever, capped by the greatest championship game ever. They're winning now. He's something. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck on Pier 17. All these quarterbacks are really, really good. Then there's the quarterback drafted just after Patrick Mahomes and what his future might be. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, our NFL senior front office insider.
Senior.
Self-styled senior front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum.
I did feel big.
I did check the official ESPN website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Mike, it's not senior. It's just listed as front office. So did you get a promotion and they have updated it?
Evan, you have to see how one becomes a GM. Do you understand? He understands how to work it. You slip in a little senior.
It's called leverage right before negotiations start.
I want to know if people, if this should be updated. Did Mike get a promotion? Do we owe him a congratulations?
No, not at all. I'm just happy to be here. You know, maybe I didn't look at the fine print, you know.
You got to watch the aw shucks I drive a Chevy Tahoe guys, right?
The fine print is way more important than title.
I mean, George O'Leary got fired from Notre Dame the same
thing.
Mike Tannenbaum is giving you the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Before, Mike, we get to your thoughts on Deshaun Watson, let's hear from Jeremy Fowler on the latest with Deshaun Watson from SportsCenter.
With Carolina, things have changed after that ugly loss to the New York Giants. I checked with multiple sources who acknowledge that things could heat up for Watson, largely because they need a franchise quarterback. And right now, the feeling is they might not have one. Now, Carolina was heavily involved in Watson sweepstakes back in, you know, February, March time before the sexual assault allegations. I was told they were willing to outbid just about anybody at that time. So that's important to keep in mind. Now, Miami, their talks could intensify because the feeling around the league is that they didn't want to bid against themselves originally. But now, if Carolina or other teams are involved, they might not have to. Sitting at 1-6, though, still unclear how far they want to go to the finish line here. But I was told directly from a source, Deshaun Watson is willing to consider multiple options here. It is not Miami or bust.
That was Jeremy Fowler, apparently our senior NFL reporter. No, just an NFL. Our NFL reporter. Mike, what's your thoughts on what's going on with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, and I'll start by telling you guys a story. When I was at the Jets, we wanted to trade for Brett Favre. Brett Favre was going to leave Green Bay. Everybody knew it. And he said, I want to go to Tampa Bay. I'm from Mississippi. Ironically, I want to go play for John Gruden. Gruden was on the staff at Green Bay. That's the only place I want to go. And Green Bay said, you're either going to the AFC or you're going to retire, because we are not going to trade you within the conference. It was only because of Green Bay's stance that we had a chance to recruit Brett, get him to the Jets. So all my point is, guys, is this. It's a really weird dynamic, because Houston may say, hey, you know what? Deshaun, it's ended here. We get that, but we're not trading you the AFC. We're just not going to do it. So you're going to either retire or you're going to go to the NFC. And you could talk to any team you want in the NFC, but there is no option in the AFC. Now, he may say, guess what? I only want to play for Miami. And that's why this is a very unusual dynamic, because now there's like three different parties involved. I just know from my own history, guys, at the Jets, we benefited from it, because if Green Bay had said you could go any place you want, Brett Favre would never have taken our call.
Yeah, most of the time when coaches or decision makers are making decisions, you don't trade from within your conference or your division if you think the guy is good. You just don't – you don't do it. You don't – why would I trade Deshaun Watson – to Miami and I've got to face him, or he has some sort of repercussions on where our season is going to be because he plays a team that we might need to lose or win, and he's playing for them to get us in the playoff. So you just don't do it. When I was traded from the Jets, every team was in the NFC. They weren't going to move me in the AFC because they knew I was going to come back to hunt them.
You know what I was going to ask you, Mike? It depends on how risk-averse are you? Because I've been sitting here thinking about if I were on the opposite end of this and I had a chance to get Deshaun Watson, and depending upon, let's say if I am Miami, what I have to give up in Tua, not knowing what the end result is going to be can leave me in a very precarious situation. Like, would you want to put your franchise – and that type of purgatory?
Jay, it's a great point. And that's why if I was the receiving team here, I would want to have massive conditions. You know, based on how much he played is how much we'll give up. You know, we've seen that in the Carson Wentz trade, obviously for completely different reasons. But Philly and Indy landed in a spot where both sides feel protected. So, Jay, I think it's a great point. And without question, I would be saying, hey, if we're going to get a great talent like Deshaun Watson with so many questions, we need to protect ourselves.
I'm trying to think. Because, Key, you bring up you don't trade in the division. Certainly not in the division, but not even in the conference if you think the guy is good. That's why, like, Orlando Brown Jr., I thought he's, like, a really good tackle. The Ravens are trading him to the Chiefs of all teams? Maybe that's a Trojan horse. Like, this guy is not what he was a couple years ago. Like, and he's not playing well at the moment, right?
They didn't feel that way about Brown at the Ravens. That's why they didn't.
Right. So there you go.
And they got a first-round pick for him.
I'm thinking about NFL history. Has there ever been a player in his prime, now we know there are off-the-field issues, who's been moved from one team to another at the apex of his power?
Drew Bledsoe, traded from the Patriots to the Bills by Bill Belichick.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
But why did Bill do that? Because he felt he could beat him, and he wasn't as good as the guy who's still playing right now.
And I think the football world was aghast when he made that decision. One, you got to give him unbelievable credit for drafting Tom Brady, keeping four quarterbacks on the roster in 2000, and then trading Bledsoe after they had given him $100 million. But to have the hubris to trade him within division, it was like, oh my gosh, like he has no respect for Bledsoe's game because
none.
You know, yeah. that part to me was like shocking.
Would you say Bledsoe was a top what quarterback at the time?
15?
Yeah. I mean, he was a good player.
But Deshaun Watson, I think, would be, if he was active, had he not had 22, I have to mention it, separate allegations of misconduct by 22 separate women making allegations. Top five? Deshaun Watson, if he was active right now?
Yeah.
Top
right
five?
There, yeah. Yeah. Right there.
For sure. Top four quarterback.
Right. And Max, to your point, that's why if I'm Houston, I'm saying you are not going in the AFC because we want to get to the Super Bowl.
Yes, and you can stand in the way.
Right. It's never happened. Right. So my point is, I don't think it's ever happened before that a quarterback this good and this young. You could say Favre was still really good. He was much older. You could point to some old guys who switched teams. But a dude, Peyton Manning, a dude this young and this good – switching teams?
Well, the thing with Favre is Mike knows because he was in it. They were not going to trade him to Minnesota. He had to circumventilate everything to go around to the Jets to get back to Minnesota to try to get back at Green Bay. When you look at Alex Smith goes to Kansas City. But again,
not a top five.
It's like, you know.
Nice player.
So, Mike, who do you think – what would the best trade partner be in the NFC?
Carolina, because it's closer to where he's from. In the southeast part of the country. It's out of the conference. You got a young coach. You got a great defense. They're going to need a lot of help at skill players. They have a few, obviously, McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson. But, like, to me, if I'm Deshaun Watson and I can't go to the AFC, I think Carolina checks the most boxes.
Could New Orleans not work? I know we keep talking about Jameis Winston, but, I mean, if you're looking at Jameis Winston, you're looking at that defense with Deshaun Watson. I'm sitting there saying, okay.
I think it's a bigger picture question, which is, like, if we were running a team and we needed a quarterback next year, you have Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson who could be available. And then after that, like, did the Deshaun Watson situation But there's no – like the draft has more question marks than it has solutions right now.
That's another good – like I mentioned a young player, but the NFL, things can change in a hurry. So is the fact that he's so young and a team, if he gets back on the field and answers for these allegations and it turns out that he's back on the field in some kind of short order and people in that franchise don't have a moral or ethical, you know, objection to the point where they won't make a move for him, does his age factor into your thinking? Or if Aaron Rodgers is available or someone like that, you're like, you know what? I think Aaron Rodgers is even better. Maybe he can have another 3 or 4 years. I don't care so much about how old he is.
Yeah, to me, 3 years is like the reasonable time in the NFL because after that, just so much can change. But as Jay Will said earlier, I think the other point that really bears noting here, guys, is there's criminal accusations here. And even if that gets settled, if we go back to 2010, Roger Goodell suspended Ben Roethlisberger for 6 games for violation of the personal conduct policy, and there were no criminal accusations. So if you're the acquiring team, you have to assume that there's going to be some suspension at some point. So that's why all those variables have to be factored in.
A lot of investigating to go on. Sure. I mean, I got to know everything before I pull the trigger, and I got to be able to withstand the blowback from my fan base
1,000,000%
and other people that's out there. Just because he's a talent, you still this situation is a little bit different than some of the other situations that we've run up against in the NFL.
And blowback, I mean, you would have protests. I mean, you would have people that would be protesting outside your stadium. That's not a good aesthetic for a lot of franchises.
You know, we asked earlier if you could start your franchise with one quarterback since 2018, drafted since 18. That's the Mahomes draft. Who would it be? Well, it was 2017, so like 2018, starting 18 and forward. Who would it be? Your chance to weigh in on that, 888-729-3776. This is Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. We have Mike Tannenbaum with us right now, NFL front office, in ESPN NFL front office insider, just plain old insider. Got a demotion from senior insider. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you could start your franchise with one quarterback drafted since 2018, so post-Patrick Mahomes, who would it be, Rick in Ohio?
Hello, Rick. It would be Justin Herbert, man. He was thrown in at the last minute his last year against Kansas City, which was the toughest team going back then, and then come out showing good. This year he's with a new coach, still playing good. Good size guy, probably prototypical quarterback these days. I got to ask Jay Will a question if I could.
Sure.
I haven't seen you guys talk about the 75th anniversary for the NBA list. I saw it the other day when they finished up with it. And I saw 8 guys at least that I saw with my own 2 eyes on the list. And I know somebody is way better than them, and I know Jay Will would probably know who the guy is.
Now, is Bill Walton one of them?
No.
No? Who would you have? Who were your two?
Who introduced Michael Jordan at the Hall of Fame?
I'm drawing a blank on that right now.
I don't know either. Who?
David Thompson.
Oh, David Thompson. Okay. Yeah.
Now, I think it's because his after basketball career is why people are, you know, snubbing him, because he was one of the best players going back then. That's my question. Thanks a lot.
I don't know. 75 is tough to crack, though.
Oh, we can crack it. Oh, we can crack it. It's just, you know. We got a lot of big football.
By the way, Bill Walton in his prime, leave him alone. Rick,
we got a lot of football topics.
What's that? Yeah. You know? Oh, that was Rick in Ohio. Brady in Cincinnati. Let me guess who Brady's going to say.
Tom.
No, he's in Cincinnati. Who's Brady going to like of the young quarterback?
Respect on my Bengals for so long, but yeah, I would take Joe Burrow out of all of them. You have to. I mean, he's got that moxie about him.
Yeah, he has that moxie about him. I hear what the previous caller, Rick, said, Mike, about Herbert. Herbert was thrown to the wolves last year. Terrible offensive line. A coach who lost his job. Always under pressure. Was amazing. And people can check all the boxes and be precise when you talk about Herbert. And people like me, when we talk about Joe Burrow, it's like, he's got something. But he does. Like, he had the greatest college season ever, greatest championship game ever. His team is winning right now. He has his receiver there. They have a great connection.
All well and good, but that doesn't mean that Justin Herbert doesn't have it as well. Like, Justin Herbert has more of a competitiveness. And what I love about Justin Herbert is he is not a what you see is what you get guy. because he comes across as this plain, affable guy. But I think he's a world-class competitor as well.
Can I ask you
Joe
both a question?
Joe Burrow reminds me so much just his demeanor in the pocket and stuff. He reminds me of Tony Romo. A lot of Tony.
Burrow does.
Yeah. Can I just ask you guys something? So I'm watching Joe Burrow, and I'm watching with Ja'Marr Chase. I'm watching with Joe Mixon. I'm watching with the talent that he kind of has around him. I mean, granted, Cincinnati has exceeded expectations. And then watching Justin Herbert and watching Robert Woods. I'm watching their receiving core, how talented they are. And then I'm watching Lamar Jackson. I'm watching him with who?
Like, well, he's got Marquise Hollywood Brown. He got Mark Andrews and then Hollywood Brown.
Well, but they also drafted Rashad Bateman, who they have high hopes for. Who's
just kind of came back, yeah. He's been doing well.
Yeah, big physical receiver.
But he doesn't have a plethora of receivers like the Chargers with Pro Bowl caliber guys.
Thank you.
Or even like Joe Burrow with T. Higgins and Boyd and Mixon in the backfield along with Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow is not a bad answer, but I like Justin Herbert. I like 6'6". I like to see the ball come out of the quarterback's hands. Now, Joe Burrow's not small. He's a 6'3", 6'4", guy. But strong body, Justin Herbert, it just looks different to me.
Yeah.
Outside of college football, Mike, I haven't seen Joe Burrow play in Cincinnati up close and personal. I will this year, though. I plan on going to a game before it gets too cold.
Can I jump on your plane when you go?
Well, be quiet, man. Don't do that. but then – I've seen Justin Herbert play in a lot of football, and he just looks different.
So all you guys are giving the edge to Justin Herbert over Lamar Jackson?
No,
we're talking about Joe Burrow.
But Lamar.
But Lamar Jackson's in this group, correct?
Yeah, he is in the group, correct. Jay, I will take Lamar and run to the heels. But Lamar is he's different.
He's an anomaly, as you said.
Yeah, he's just different.
Him and Kyler Murray and their own package over here.
Yeah. I got Mahomes 1, Lamar 2, and now we can talk about everybody else. Again,
Mahomes, we're not counting Mahomes, right?
Post-Mahomes. Yeah, that's why we're doing a post-Mahomes. Post-Mahomes, so I got one. Lamar, who, by the way, is the same year. Like, they're both 24, Lamar and Joe Burrow. He's accomplished so much already, Lamar. But I'll say this. The better argument can be made for Justin Herbert. The Joe Burrow people are saying he's giving us a feeling.
And to me, the most interesting part of this conversation, none of the four of us are mentioning Trevor Lawrence, who, by the way, may have the most talent. And, Keith, look at your I totally agree with you.
Mike, I've been around this just like you for a long time, and we agree on a lot of stuff. You know how I am. I'm not buying into the once-in-a-lifetime generational.
I agree with you. That's my point. None of us are saying Trevor Lawrence, and I think part of it is Burrow seems like the better competitor. Lamar, Kyler, they've done more, and like I'm going to see like Trevor Lawrence go out there with his shoulder hanging out. Like I'm not the biggest Baker Mayfield fan, but he's going to win or die trying. And I think with Trevor Lawrence, the die trying part is a grade of incomplete. We haven't seen him like with a knee, with a PCL hanging out. Like,
Justin Herbert is. By the way, don't even have to get to that part. Justin Herbert's already so good that with all the hype about Trevor Lawrence coming out, if he 2 years from now plays like Justin Herbert played last year, we would start to say he's fulfilling his potential.
The reason y'all going all giddy in cotton candy on Joe Burrow is because y'all just saw what he did to the Ravens. So everybody's going crazy right now on Joe Burrow because 3 weeks ago, no one was going crazy when he won a game. They're going crazy now because he just beat the Ravens.
But we were still – the same type of stuff was being said.
You were like, he's going to be a good quarterback. Right now, it's, oh, my God, he's going to be the best quarterback ever, debating it.
I said early this season, he gives me the feeling that he might be the guy who wins the most.
How about this? To Key's point, though, Zach Taylor coming into the season was 6-25-1.
And on his way out.
Right. Now, all of a sudden, they beat Baltimore and Baltimore.
And y'all going crazy.
But part of that –
I'm not changing what I was saying about Burrow. I've been saying the same thing about Burrow.
But in fairness, like Cincinnati's earned it now. And
yes, but we can't go crazy. We can't all of a sudden – take Joe Burrow and put him up there. Who's the top quarterback in the NFL? Next week they lose. Everybody be like, eh.
Yeah.
So it's like just.
Well, that's the danger in just going with a guy because he gives you a feeling. You better, right? Like, I'll be the first one to say that. Mike in Delaware. Who's the best quarterback drafted since Mahomes?
Dennis.
Yes, sir. Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's happening, Mike?
I have to agree with What's up, fellas? How y'all doing? I'd agree with Max. Max, Lamar Jackson to me is the number one candidate, no choice. Just because his athleticism, he's talented, he's smart, he's still learning. His support cast around him may not be the strongest, but they're going together. So, like, you know, just to give him a little time, I believe he won it the most before Barrow, and he's a better athlete than Herbert, and on and on and on. Lamar Jackson should get much more respect than what he do nowadays. So, you know, Lamar Jackson's my choice, and I believe he's going to prove it this year. Just give him some time.
Man, there's nothing wrong with Lamar. Lamar is legit, wickedly legit. I just like Justin Herbert. I don't dislike Lamar. I love Lamar. I go to bat for Lamar in a heartbeat. But Justin Herbert, for me, as a receiver, the thing is just handed off differently. And I've played with the style quarterback that Lamar is. That style, I played with that before and done well with it.
But yeah, I can see that. We've also been mentioned that if Hollywood Brown would have made a lot more catches, the completion percentage for Lamar Jackson would be exponentially higher, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there is something to be said about how the metrics deem how you view somebody.
Guys, again, he's age 24 season right now. Same with Joe Burrow, okay, who's like a baby. Age 24 season, he's won an MVP of the league. His team wins double digits every year, and he's won a playoff game already. He has done so much.
The thing that, for me, and I'm sure for Mike, who knows this, you have to create a certain system for Lamar, where Justin Herbert, you can kind of just...
Do anything with, right?
Plug him into every system. And a lot of coaches, as you know, Mike, have hired and fired him. They like, we don't want to do that because we believe in this. And so he gets snubbed. Because of that.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And if you want to make a case for the MVP this year, Lamar, to me, is in that conversation because we're not talking about J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, losing guys like Marshall Yanda. Like, they have lost so many key players. And by the way, Sammy Watkins been hurt. Rashad Bateman's been hurt. They have done so much with so little that you could say Lamar, in terms of value to a team, like, you pull him out of Baltimore.
The reason we're talking about Joe Burrow is because he just beat Lamar Jackson. That's why we're even talking about him. Lamar MVP before this last week, and he may still win it. There's a lot of football to be played. Then there's a rookie quarterback being set up to fail.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Some Bears news, guys. As Matt Nagy, and Mike Tannenbaum, who is your senior to me, Mike. ESPN NFL front office insider. Some Bears news as Matt Nagy tested positive for COVID-19. He is symptom-free, and all NFL coaches must be vaccinated. So Nagy will require two negative tests 24 hours apart before he's allowed to return. Special teams coordinator Chris Tabor. Oh, how do you say his last name? Chris Tabor? Tabor, right?
Chris T.
Will run the team meetings during Nagy's absence. This comes on the heels of a 38-3 loss to the Bucs in which Justin Fields threw three interceptions and had five turnovers. Here's what Fields said after the game about his first interception.
Yeah, so that was third down. In the headset, they were telling me we had 12 men on the field, so I was trying to snap the ball quick. And then me snapping the ball quick, I think it caught our receivers off guard because we were trying to get a flag. So me thinking that we have 12 men on the field, you know, that's a free play. So I'm thinking, all right, scrambling, you know, around and stuff like that. And then, of course, see A-Rob downfield, and I think he slips. And then, of course, the pick. So, yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, just trying to get him 12 people on the field and then just went bad from there. So, yeah.
Mike, that's the second time in 2 weeks that happened to Fields. What's your reaction to that?
There's something going on with the coaching staff because you
– Shocking.
As a coaching staff, you have to put your players in the best chance to be successful, starting with communication, the quarterback. And if the opposing team has 12 men on the field, absolutely you want to take a shot. You know, we've seen Aaron Rodgers, one of the many great things he does is his cadence, get people to jump, free play. So I like that. But, you know, I go back to Case Keenum a week ago Thursday night and Kevin Stefanski. In that first drive, they go 75 yards, 5 plays, 2 minutes and 40 seconds. The ball was never thrown past the line of scrimmage. Boots, waggles, misdirection, and it put a backup quarterback in the best chance to be successful against Denver. And I think where a lot of people are disappointed with the Bears is Justin Fields is a young quarterback. There's going to be ups and downs, but put him in the best chance to be successful. His best game this year was against Detroit, completed 64% of his passes. They ran for 188 yards. There's a way they can put him, like when he's played well, they've been balanced. And I just feel like that's sort of like a symptom to a much bigger problem.
You see, Mike, I'm like J. Cole. Like, I'm all about applying pressure right now on Matt Nagy, and I have been on this entire situation. We had you on the show a couple of weeks ago, and you said that you weren't ready to fire Matt Nagy. Where do you stand now in your evaluation of the coaching staff moving forward?
Yeah, look, it's disappointing. I'm not one to just fire somebody, you know, every other day like some of the other people that happen to sit in the seat, because I know how hard – one, everyone works, but more importantly, like Jay Will, fundamentally, like who are you going to go get, you know? And you played for maybe the greatest college basketball coach of all time who struggled early in his career. And, you know, Zach Taylor was 6-25-1. He was ready to be gone on Labor Day. And I'm not saying Matt Nagy is going to be Mike Krzyzewski. I'm not saying that Chicago is going to go into Green Bay and beat them. But what I am saying is in the middle of the season, who are you going to get that's going to put, you know, Justin Fields in a better position to be successful?
Yeah, it. You always want to give him the opportunity to weather the storm, because Matt Nagy has taken the team to the playoffs a couple times. He has shown some ability at times to turn the switch on. I just wonder, when we look at Justin Fields from week to week and I look at what they do, are they – using the install from summer training camp playbook, or all of a sudden are they changing everything and trying to implement things that they're not accustomed to as a staff? Because what typically happens, and you know this, Mike, training camp, we get a binder at yay big. And that's pretty much the season. What's in there, we're going to take from that and form our game plan. And then every single week we see some footage from a few teams around the league that we may steal some ideas from. But for the most part, that game plan, that big binder that we get in training camp, that's what we use for the 17 weeks. I wonder if Chicago has scrapped that binder and decided to just try and do something different, and they don't know what they're doing as a staff.
Hey, Key, that's a great point. And Rex Ryan, he deserves a ton of credit for this. From day one, Rep 1, Minicamp 1, Mark Sanchez was our quarterback. And we used to have a color-coded system with Brian Schottenheimer, our offensive coordinator. Red, Mark, you can only throw the ball 100% of the time the ball is going to be completed. Yellow, proceed with caution. Green, hey, we're down 10, let it rip. And to me, if Matt Nagy got away from Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, and said, you know what, we drafted Justin Fields, his worst day, he's more talented than Andy Dalton, and we're going to put him in a position to be successful, Key, like you're saying. I think everything we're saying about them would have been totally different.
Okay. See, when we were together in New York and we had Dan Henning and everybody, Jay, one of the things that we did when Ray Lucas came aboard as our – similar to Justin Fields, early stages, right? Mm-hmm. Before people even liked those type of quarterbacks. That playbook was this big. We went, choo! And we just took just enough stuff out that he did well, and allowed him to have success with that. I don't see where they're doing that.
So what happens, Key and Mike, if Matt Nagy is not there this upcoming weekend, they play against the 49ers, and Justin Fields has by far his best game? What will we be talking about Monday morning?
We'll have a week's worth of topics. No, look, ooh. And that...
It's not good, Mike.
No,
that
it's
won't
not
be good.
Good. It's not good. It's like Case Keenum playing well and why they don't have to pay Baker Mayfield. Like, Case Keenum took money out of Baker Mayfield's pocket last Thursday night, and that's a really interesting question.
Or what the Raiders doing with Rich Bisaccia when John Gruden was there. Everybody felt like they were in jail. When he left, they opened up the cell and let him run on the yard.
That's what I'm saying. Like you said, who do they go to? Sometimes just removing a piece allows other pieces to flourish in ways that you
addition
maybe never saw
by
before.
Subtraction.
There
remember
it
that?
Is.
By the way, Matt Nagy's, and Key put me up on this. Look it up a couple weeks ago. Matt Nagy's head coaching career record, including this year, 31-24 in the regular season. 31-24, it's pretty
good.
Yeah,
people have been stealing that nugget.
Why the result from Monday Night Football is being felt on the other side of the country. Next, Key, Jay, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.